You're listening to PodcastJuice.net. This is what we do. You know, we get in here and we talk about stuff. We get it and we chop it up, give you our spin on things. Joining me today, who my name is Michael Dean, as you may already know. Joining me is Big, Sexy, and Sack. How are you, sir?
I'm barely moving, but I am moving. Let's do this.
All right. And we also have Mr. Sean Hill with us today. Mr. Sean, how are you?
I am doing well. Just chilling after Valentine's Day. Ready to get it on.
All right. We're going to get into Valentine's Day in a second. But last but not least, Mr. I call him Mr. Video Games sometimes. Aunt Pooh. Before you say them, have you tried Titanfall yet? How are you doing?
I have not. Unfortunately, I don't have the Xbox One or a PC. I actually got offered a code, and I was like, damn. But hopefully I'll be getting that pretty soon. Doing great. Tired as fuck.
Well, the day after Valentine's Day. And, you know, I think pretty much, one person in here is married.
Me.
Mr. Sean. So, Sean, as a married man, do you guys celebrate Thanksgiving? Do you have to do something for your lady?
Yeah, well, I try to do it up every year, but budget concerns this year, so I had to kind of tone it down a little bit. But I didn't take her out to eat, and she's not a flowers, candy, balloon type lady, which I appreciate that. So I just cooked some steaks, some lobster tails. She loves asparagus, so I grilled up some asparagus, and we watched a couple of movies.
Nice.
That was it. Yeah, we just stayed inside this time.
Okay. I say my little story. And this may be a cautionary tale for some people, depending on how you take it. But it's good times. So, you know, I'm normally not the Valentine's guy. I always sort of play that. Sometimes I'll play that conspiracy brother. You know, well, who is Valentine? You know, but my girlfriend, she's not having it. So she let me know, you're going to celebrate Valentine's Day. And, you know, there you go. All right now, brother. So I was okay. So I went out, you know, I got, what did I do? I got a nice card. I got like the teddy bear dude, you know, and I got a little box of chocolates. And then I tried to differentiate up. I got a nice little scented candle type deal. You know, just like some little things. Set that up. And then we went out to eat. But before we went out to eat, we made a pit stop. I don't know, too much of our business out there. Went out there to Lovers. Now, this may be a local chain, but, you know, it's like an adult store. And you can go there and get your stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Get your 50 Shades on.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
All right. So,
are you about to expose your proclivities?
No, yeah. Hey, I'm a man. Ain't no shit.
Okay.
But I will say this. This only thing I must say. Be careful. And I don't have the name of the stuff. But be careful of it. It's called the Elixir. It's these little, it's like an energy drink almost. And they got one for him and her. But be careful with those things. Because them bad boys can be potent. And they'll keep you going. And you will wake up in them. Play on words is the coming up, then you got to come down. And this morning I came down. And
is it one of those call your doctor after 4 hours?
Well, it probably will be. I didn't have to do all that, but you know, and it's over the, you know, they sell it over, you know, it's not a prescription thing, but
okay.
Those they ain't no joke. Like, yeah, you know, stroke no joke is what they should call it, but it yeah, it was good times. Good Valentine's, you know.
I would like to meet the doctor that says, you know what, an erection for 4 hours is okay. But going over 4 hours is a problem? Come on.
Unless you are, you know, some other rock star rapper and you've got like a plethora of women waiting to get into the hotel room, that's the only time you're going to need 4 hours. And, you know, to rock and just keep going. But at 44, I don't need four. I mean, yeah, it was. But like I say, great, great Valentine's Day. Went out, had fabulous dinner, seafood and everything. great time. I think we might have lost somebody, but we're going to keep going. Big Sexy, do you have any Valentine's?
You know, Patty is really a, should we, I don't know your name, name, fuck it, is a really low-key person, whereas I'm generally always out, you know, rubbing elbows, different restaurants, hanging out, you know, for business purposes primarily. You know, she doesn't care to do that a lot. So we went out last night to a place where I know the chef, you know, he got us in, you know, did us up. And then my friend who owns a comic shop happened to be downtown, and he texted me, said, where are you? I said, we're, you know, right around the corner. So we met up with them and him and his wife, and we just hung out, ate, got my drink together too. I had some tequila last night, can't lie.
Yeah.
You know, and stumbled on home and relaxed, and you know, it was a nice night. It was a nice night.
Okay. Now, Anthony, you back with us?
Uh-oh. Yes, I am.
Oh, there, okay.
There he is. Now,
I don't know what happened. I just stalled out.
That's all good. Now, I don't know what you did for Valentine's Day, but it sounded like you had a post-Valentine's situation this morning.
Well, you know, recently I just I had to end a long-term relationship. So, you know, Valentine's Day was a little bittersweet. Plus, I normally don't celebrate it. But this morning, I decided, you know what? I need to make myself more attractive for the next woman.
Uh-oh.
I hooked up with one of my somebody that I'm trying to make the next woman, and she took me out to this, we call it the Jefferson Stairs. It's about 260 stone stairs up a hill.
Woo.
And on top of that, the stairs are uneven, so you'll have short steps, then you have long steps, and then you have steps that you're literally going up instead of at a diagonal angle. So, you know, I've been doing this for about 2 years, maybe 3 or 4 times a week. The last month, about 2 times a week, I went with her and I decided, okay, I'm going to keep up with her. She about 5'6", 140 pounds, you know, nice slim shape. I'm about 5'9", 280. I got to the top. Your boy was ready to have a heart attack.
I know you're trying to play it off too.
Yeah, you know, she's like, "How you doing?" I'm like, "I'm doing good." He said, "You know, this is actually a slow pace for me."
Hell.
You know what I mean? She's like, "Well, I'm gonna go ahead. You know, I'm gonna rest about another minute." Shit. So I decided I was gonna walk down the hill. I saw her coming up, had to boss up and start jogging down. I got halfway down. I paused for about a good 10 minutes.
Wow.
Walked down the rest, get to my car. I'm sitting there like, please don't throw up. Please don't throw up.
Please don't throw up. That would have been the whole game over if that would have happened.
Well, luckily, I get a text from her. I'm like, she's like, where are you at? I'm at the car. She's like, oh, okay, I'm coming down. I'm like, okay, cool. And I ended up having to throw up. Thankfully, it was all water, but, you know.
She didn't see you.
Let that be a lesson. Go at your own pace. Stop trying to show off for these chicks.
She didn't see you, did she?
Nope, she didn't. Nope, she didn't at all.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, hey, man, so that's how we got to do. You got to put in that work, you know. Well, guys trying to impress the ladies.
So, yeah.
It's a little different. You get up in age, you start be like, man.
You know what, Anthony, let me ask you a question, and if I'm overstepping, please, please say so. When you went to Japan, who did you go with?
Oh, no, that was my cousin.
Oh, that was your cousin, okay.
Yeah, yeah, I know it doesn't look it, she's a half white, half black.
No, she's half fine, that's what she is, man. I'm like, Anthony, what's up, player?
Yeah, I fly him overseas, man.
I'm like, are we kind of like that now? Okay.
Nah. I can't even knock it. I mean, every time she comes out to visit, I always got to be like, look here. You let me know. I'm like, because, you know, I said, the homie's going to try to get at you. So you need to let me know what's up. I'll let you know who's worth it. But I ain't going to cock block on anybody if you're going to tell me not to cock
block. Hilarious. Hey, all right. Before we get into this one movie thing real quick, there's a big movie, obviously, that came out, and there is a review on the website. Me and Q-Storm talked about this movie, sort of in depth, but I would love to hear I'm pretty sure Sean has seen this movie. As a matter of fact, I know he has a written review of this. I don't know if the other guys have seen it. But Sean, real quick, I mean, RoboCop, what did you think about this?
You know, I went into it and I wanted to like totally separate myself from the 86 version because I loved it, that film so much. And this one just it was exactly what I thought it was going to be, a watered down retread of the original. They changed it up a little bit. I didn't like the changes that they made, and I apologize. I haven't had a chance to listen to your show yet, but I didn't like the fact that they made him, you know who he is, who his past is. So you don't have that inner conflict. I mean, he wakes up and he knows that he's Alex Murphy, where in the original it was more of a journey of re-self-discovery. And Sam Jackson, can I talk about him for a minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
I would probably guess that he shot his role in a day or two, tops. If you've seen those Citibank card commercials, that is the exact same setup that he does in this movie. He stands there and he talks to the audience. And I swear to you, I was waiting for him to say, "What's in your wallet?"
Oh, Lord.
All right. Well, go ahead. You finish.
No, I was just going to say one last thing. I think, you know, catering to the younger audience, my daughter thought it was Iron Man. When he got into the suit. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
that was probably by design.
Yeah. You know, just to jump on that real quick, in the review with Q, I told him that. I said, you know what? The analogy for the kids of today will be Iron Man. Like that's what they're going to compare this to. They're not going to know anything about the original movie. So they'll just judge it on what they've seen before, which is Iron Man, like-minded. They will look at this as a comic book movie. But go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, if you've never, ever, ever seen the original RoboCop, then, I would say, why haven't you? But I would still not recommend this one. It's just not as good. It's not as violent. And I'm not saying, you know, the movie has to be violent to be good. But, I mean, they just watered it down to basically a basic, average movie, and nothing special about it. I probably wouldn't watch it again. I actually want to go back and watch the original version again. So that would be a thumbs down for me.
All right. So my quick opinion was, I actually like the movie, but there's two audiences for this movie. There's one, there's people who have seen the original and who've probably forgotten about 2 and 3, but they've seen the original movie, and you know, it's a classic movie for that time. They're going to look at this you can't help but compare it, right? It's like, it's not that movie. But for me, the other side is for people who have never seen that other movie, which a lot of today's kids, you know, younger people probably haven't.
I would hope not.
They would see this. And to me, this was just it was a cool by the numbers. It was a good little action movie. You know, it wasn't terrible. But just judging it strictly for what it is, I liked it. Like, I was like, this is pretty cool. It's not perfect, and there's a lot of story things that I was kind of like, eh. But I was like, this is cool. This is good. With that said, yes, it is not. It could never be that other movie. Like, there'd be no way in hell they would make a movie like that in 2014 to be a wide release, you know, blockbuster.
Yeah,
type movie. It would never happen. Just totally different mindset, different time. That director is playing a joke on us and on America by making that movie. They wouldn't do that today. Though there were parts in this movie, like at the very beginning, it sets up and asks some very interesting questions and sets up a nice sort of tone or theme, which I wish would have been more explored. But the whole sort of like America putting these robot troops in other countries and then wanting to put them here in America. I thought that was like, I was like, that's kind of interesting, very interesting. Yeah. Like, you know, and then the whole, you know, and Samuel Jackson is basically Bill O'Reilly, Fox News to the extreme.
Yeah.
You know, played for laughs, which I personally have a problem with. He gets hokey in it, but I actually thought he's playing more toward the sensibilities of the original movie, where he's just so over the top. You know, so I didn't mind it. And even at the end part where he does, which I won't spoil it, again, it was just a nod that this is Samuel Jackson.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And
yeah.
I laughed at it. I was just like, it's so stupid. But again, it reminded me of their first movie. Like, it was a lot of stupid stuff in the first movie, but I just thought it was hilarious. But I'll say that the special effects and just, it was dope to me. I thought the action pieces could have been a little better. But it was cool. You know, it was way better than I would have anticipated it to be.
Technically, it's not a bad film. Technically, I mean, the special effects, you know, you would hope they're good, and they are good. Again, if you're going to remake a classic, you have to make it better. They made it different. Different is not better. So why, especially, you know, now home video and all that, the original is easily accessible. So, I mean, if I have a choice between watching the 2014 version or the 87 version, I'm going with the 87 version.
But that's what you would – I'm thinking that as a kid, though, the sensibilities of the 80-whatever version, I don't know if they would play to a younger person today. Like, that sort of stuff that it talks about and deals with and the reason why it's like that, I don't think it plays today. Like,
why not?
Well, the ultra-violence is a satire, and it's – that ultraviolence at that time, you've seen so much of that now, and they've probably seen that in video games. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't make us there's no stance on it. For then, it made a point. It was like a shock. But it's not a shock today. It would just be like, why are you? Why? It's like, this is kind of dumb. Why are you being ultraviolent? Like, you know what I mean? It wouldn't be like, whoa, because you've seen so many other movies that they've seen. They've been exposed to that. So it doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't hold the weight. I just don't think it holds the weight. The other go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I agree with you. I don't think they should have gone the ultra-violent route. I just think it shouldn't have been made, period. I mean, I get it. It's another, you know, cash cow franchise that, you know, they can sell, you know, Happy Meals and you know, little plastic toy, RoboCop toys. You know, I get that. But, you know, at the end of the day, where's the artistic standpoint of filmmaking has, you know, seems to be lost. And, you know, let's just trot out, you know, this project. Oh yeah, this one made some money back in, you know, back in the day. Let's just retrot it out again.
Well, 90% of all movies are cash cows. Like, I mean, there wouldn't be a movie industry if there wasn't the cash cow, right? I mean, there's only so many quote unquote artistically type movies. But I mean, the majority of what they're going to, especially on an action movie, RoboCop itself was, to me, originally is just a send up 80s movie. It's a classic movie, but it's not a great movie in my opinion. Like, it's just wild craziness. It reminded me of like Toxic Avenger, but done with a bigger budget or something. I mean, it's just over the top craziness. I don't know. I would hesitate for me personally to call the original RoboCop great cinema. It was a great action movie, to my opinion, but I wouldn't hold it to like the great sci-fi movies for me of the 80s. I mean, nostalgically, I look back and yeah, I enjoyed that shit, but it was, even the sequels, it was horrible.
Yeah, well, no argument there.
No, the sequels were horrible.
TV series, whack.
Bullshit.
But I mean, I see your point. I mean, yeah, you tend to like don't want to see remakes, but I don't think they did a bad job on it. Again, I just knew there's no way in hell they're going to be able to make that kind of movie today. It would have to be a movie that is played off of the sensibilities of today, which I don't necessarily think they did. They played it more of, like I said, more on an Iron Man or any other sort of action movie with the guy in a suit type of a thing. But I don't think they could have made a controversial RoboCop movie in 2014, and they could, but they wouldn't do that. There's no point to do that.
Yeah.
But check it out for yourself. See what you think.
Yeah. Check it out. Hit us up on the site. Let us know what you think.
Dead or alive, come with me. The only thing they should have did, and it was bitches leave, but they don't do that. All right.
Seriously, they didn't bring that live in
no,
there?
No, they didn't.
Ah. What about, I'll buy that for $1.
It was thrown in there.
And it doesn't work.
But again, it only works if you have any sort of context of the first movie. If you don't know anything about that, you don't know why he says that. It doesn't make it, you know, it's just like, oh, okay, whatever. Why did he say that? But again, so it's two audiences for this movie, right? They're trying to appease the older people and trying to make something for younger people.
Well, they didn't appease the older people.
No. Well, I liked it. So, but it doesn't, you know, whatever. Whatever, man. All right. We're going to keep moving. There was another movie, which I have not seen. It's a new movie, came out, I believe, on Friday, Valentine's Day, About Last Night, starring the box office man of the day, Kevin Hart.
Yawn.
And Sean, tell us about the movie.
Well, the movie follows four characters in L.A. Two couples are dating, Kevin Hart and I apologize, I can't remember her name. I think it's Regina Hall. Yeah. They're a couple. They set up their best friends, Michael Ealy and Joy Bryant. And basically the movie follows their relationship for a year's time and the, you know, trials, tribulations, ups and downs. Now, if you were to believe the advertisements, you would think that Michael Ealy makes a very small cameo appearance and is not the main star of the movie, when in fact that he is. It's not a Kevin Hart film per se. He probably is about 90%, well, I would say about 60% of it. But the film focuses mainly on Michael Ealy and Joy Bryant. Their half of the story is actually really good. They're both characters have a lot of depth. Basically, she moves in with him, and then, you know, you get the whole adjustment thing with her being in his place, and, you know, do we want to have more pillows on the bed, and the little things that couples go through, you know, as they're dating. Now, on the flip side, you have the Kevin Hart, Regina Hall part, which their relationship is totally dysfunctional. Their relationship is basically revolves around sex. You get the impression that they don't like each other outside of the sexual relationship. You know, that story could have made a good movie separately, independently of this film. But so you have a serious story with the Ely story, and then you have a funny story with the Hart stuff. But it just doesn't work because you're constantly going back and forth between the two. The tone shifts. A lot of people have seen it. A lot of people will see it because Kevin Hart. I personally didn't like it. I preferred the original. We'll probably talk about that again. The original, I think it was 86, starring Rob Lowe, Demi Moore, Elizabeth Perkins, and Jim Belushi. Yeah. That, again, this is a film that shouldn't have been remade. I understand and get why it was remade. I would say skip it, but I know the target audience is not going to hear my cry on this one. So so I'm sure it'll make money. It'll probably be number one at the box office this weekend, but it's not very good.
Oh, wow. Now, this is a remake, right?
Yes, a remake of a remake. The 86. Yeah, the 86 film, it was also called About Last Night. It essentially is the same movie. They just replaced white characters with black characters, which I have a big problem with that. There's enough filmmakers out there that have original, fresh ideas. Let's make those films. Let's not just, you know, pick a project that, you know, white people had starred in and now claim it as our own. I mean, that's like, you know, we don't want to see a Boys in the Hood remake, you know, starring Justin Bieber. You know, let's keep originality in the cinema.
Well, I don't think I've even seen their remake of the remake. Or the remake, excuse me.
It's actually a good film.
I kind of remember hearing about it, but I don't think I ever saw
it. Yeah, it's post St. Elmo's Fire. So it was kind of Brat Pack-ish.
Okay, yeah.
But they're, you know, adults or whatever. And it's a really good film. It's based on, I don't know if you know, it's based on a play by David Mamet. It was called Sexual Perversity in Chicago. Oh. And I don't know if you're familiar with his work, but he writes just excellent dialogue. Oh,
okay.
And that was one of the things about the film that was so good, just the dialogue. Here, in the remake, they've mostly abandoned that dialogue and they gave Kevin Hart free rein to improv the majority of his lines. You can tell just the things that he says and whatnot, that the people don't write like he talks.
Right. Wait. Kevin Hart was given free reign to improv over David Mamet's words.
Well, they didn't even use David Mamet's script in this one. This is a totally new script writer, new script.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The situations are the same, but David Mamet's not even credited as anything on it other than based on his original play.
I got a question for you. Yeah. Since this is a Kevin Hart movie, what Kevin Hart movie trailers did they show before this movie? Because he always got like six or seven trailers, bitch.
Yeah, the screenings I go to, they don't have trailers at the beginning.
Okay, gotcha.
So, but it's not a Kevin Hart movie.
But see, when you look at the ads and everything about it, I assume he is all through this thing, but you're saying he's not. Yeah.
I mean, his role is basically the smart aleck best friend, which, you know,
that's which is kind of where he does good, in spurts, like, what was that one movie he had? The sequel was getting ready to come out.
Oh, Think Like a Man.
Think Like a Man. Like, he was kind of sprinkled in that one. And to me, that worked. It was like,
Well, he's not sprinkled in this one. I mean, basically, they're kind of equal.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Ely does get more screen time, but their stories are kind of given equal weight. The problem is that Kevin Hart is not playing a character. He's playing Kevin Hart. And the character he's on, and you know what you mean when I say that, he's on the entire time. He's every scene, he's the fast talking, guy. He has one dramatic scene towards the end of the film, and you can tell he was out of his comfort zone.
Wow. Well, looking at just kind of looking at preliminary top tens, at least, or top box office for Friday, one is Lego Movie so far. Two is About Last Night. And surprisingly to me, three is Endless Love. Where's RoboCop?
God. Didn't see it. They didn't use the song. So that's an automatic thumbs down for me. I don't even need to see it. If they don't even bother to use – that's like remaking Footloose and not using Footloose. Or, Purple Rain.
80s movies are doing their thing.
Yeah. I mean there's three that opened this week. RoboCop, Endless Love, and About Last Night. Right. And actually I posted a question on Facebook. What does that say about Hollywood? There literally three movies in the same week and they're remakes.
Yeah. I give Kevin Hart credit. I mean he's got – so far, the second movie, number two movie going, and the number seven movie in the same week.
I don't knock the hustle at all. I mean,
I've watched interviews with him. I just watched him on Jim Rome this week on Showtime. And he is an interesting interview. I mean, he does work hard. I will give him that. He's like Will Ferrell, who I do not like, but they work hard at what they're doing, and for their audience, they're doing a good job. And again, I don't dislike him like I detest Tracy Morgan, but his stuff to me is like, one trick pony. I've seen it. I don't need to see it in 50 other movies.
Yeah.
See, my problem with Tracy Morgan is he sounds like a crackhead most of the time.
All of the time. He has no range at all. He's Tracy Morgan in everything I've ever seen him in. And I just give me something else, man.
Yeah, the thing with Kevin Hart though, and I'll compare it to Eddie Murphy back in the day, and I think I did this earlier too. Eddie, if you look at like Eddie's first five films, Eddie was never the buffoon. He was never the clown.
No, right.
Eddie was always the smartest guy in the room. Whether it be Trading Places, 48 Hours, Beverly Hills Cop, to a certain extent, Golden Child, he was smarter than the material. And he presented himself as being, again, the smartest guy in the room. I think that is one of the things why I think he reached a different level of success in the movies. I mean, again, Kevin Hart just – he's just the buffoon – in every movie, and that shtick is getting old.
Yeah, well, we will see if it's getting old, actually, because again, I didn't like the movie, but Ride Along did his thing, and
I mean, the audience isn't tired of him yet. So, and I think he's got two more projects before the end of the year. So,
all right. Moving on to another movie news, the Tupac movie. I've been talking about this for years. There's been different directors come and go, different things going on, but now it is back on, and Mr. John Singleton is going to take the reins of this. I think he's directing. I believe he's even writing this as well. Any thoughts on Singleton doing the Tupac bio movie?
I think it's a perfect choice.
They did work together, didn't they?
Yeah, Poetic Justice.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, that's a good choice.
Yeah, and as long as – and he will – and I will bet – I'm saying this right now – Tyrese will probably end up playing him.
Oh, God.
Since Tyrese has been playing Tupac his entire career,
minus the talent.
Well, you do. You know, Baby Boy was written for Tupac.
Right.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And Tyrese stepped in, of course, when, you know, Tupac passed. And it was like he was playing Tupac playing Jody. That's to me. And it seems like every role he's played since then, he's kind of carried that. I'm not saying, you know, that he's identical or the second coming of Tupac. But I could always see like he was trying to carry that Pac swag a little bit.
Not even close.
I didn't ever see it.
Tupac has been great, okay. Baby Boy. He would have turned that movie out.
Well, yeah, I mean, he would have because it was written
for him. Wait. I think you're doing a Tyrese wrong. He was excellent in Baby Boy. Yes, he was excellent in that movie. His portrayal I thought was good. Now, would Tupac have done better? I don't know, because the only performance I liked him in was Poetic Justice. I mean, Juice put him on the map, but Poetic Justice was probably his best role, in my opinion.
But Singleton
was really good in that film.
Singleton wrote Baby Boy for Tupac. I mean, it was a done deal until he got killed. So that role was tailor-made for him.
Exactly, which is why, to me, and I've seen it a couple times, Tyrese just didn't carry it off. Now that I know it was written specifically for Tupac, see, Tyrese wasn't even close.
I like Tyrese in the movie. I actually really like Tyrese.
I don't like him.
He seems like a really cool guy. I
liked him in Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, he was great in that too. Yeah, I think he's actually very funny, which I haven't realized until recent times. In the current Fast and the Furious movies, he's hilarious to me.
Yeah.
he is funny. But as far as dramatic piece, like he tried in Baby Boy, wasn't feeling it.
What was the movie he had with Megan Good? I mean, I liked him. I mean, it was, you know, it was a genre sort of movie, but I liked that one too.
Waist Deep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not terrible to me at all. I don't see him as playing Tupac, though, but I don't have anything wrong with him personally, but I could see the rationale of putting him because he's sort of known, but I think that would be a huge mistake.
When I was watching Baby Boy, like especially the first time, I just felt like I was watching someone impersonate Tupac playing the role, not how he would have played it. I'm gonna play it how Pac would have played it.
Yeah, I didn't get that, and I knew that it was written for him, but I just never really saw that. The one person I would love to see do it, and it would be a smart move in my opinion, would get Michael B. Jordan to play him. Like, he doesn't have to look like him, but in terms of the acting ability to mimic somebody and I think he could do it.
Yeah, he would be a good choice, and he would definitely need to rebound from that awkward moment. Ooh, boy, that was terrible.
But he could act rings around Tyrese, so I think he'd be a better choice. And I remember watching watching Poetic Justice, and just watching Tupac on screen, the guy was really captivating. He really was.
Yeah, the camera loved him. Yeah.
Yeah, but I hope John does an honest, you know, portrayal of him, good and bad.
You gotta put it all out.
And
there.
I hope they deal with, or even just try to get into like what happened, you know, the killing and everything too. I would hope they would go into that.
My thing is, and this is the same issue that I had with that Jobs movie with Ashton Kutcher, is what are you gonna show us in a film that really we don't already know? that we haven't already been exposed to. I mean, I'm quite sure there are some things, but it's like in this day and age with the internet and with people willingly snitching, you know, what are they really going to tell us?
Well, they can get it to the rape stuff. They can get into that because that's really one aspect of his life that's almost been not swept under the rug. Of course, we know about it, but we really don't know a lot about what actually happened and whatnot. I know that, you know, of course, he said, she said, but they can get into that aspect. They can get into his younger, you know, younger days, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I would love to see them. Again, I agree. If you've watched any of the documentaries, there's a lot of the sort of factual whatever stories out there. But I would love to see a dramatization of the relationship between him and his mother. And like where they, you know, her coming out of, you know, prison and that whole Black Power movement and how that sort of shaped his initial thoughts about things in terms of who he was and being a kid and growing up and moving around and coming to the East West Coast. I want to see that and see like the stuff that's not really in the book enough of when, you know, he married that girl real quickly and then his dad coming to see him, you know, later in his life and dramatizing that and showing us, like, because I know that shit got to affect that guy. Like, these are the things that most young men or boys hold beholden is their relationship with their parents or lack of in his case. I would love to see, like, how that shapes who he is. We already, you know, right, we know all the other stuff.
Yeah, but East Coast, West Coast, we know that.
We don't get to see the more personal side, which I hope they can delve into. And again, the part of him that is bad, too, you know, which is a part of everybody. So,
yeah. I'm glad that, you know, Pac's getting the biopic, but can we get one for Marvin Gaye already?
Well, that's done. They just ain't put it out.
Well, I know Gordy's holding, and that thing's been finished, what, 3 years now? Something like that?
Who's playing Marvin in that?
The guy from what's his name? Law and Order? Jesse Martin.
There's a trailer online for it.
Yeah, I saw that trailer and it looked amazing.
Yeah, I want to see it.
That hasn't been put out. But I mean, it's just a trailer, but still, it looks amazing.
Yeah, from what I understand,
bring Barry Gordy.
Yeah, he's holding it up.
Wow. Well, they're not letting him use the music or something? Or?
Yeah. There's a lot of music rights issues and but there've been other Motown, you know, Temptations and I think a couple of others. So I don't know what specifically in Marvin's catalog where the problem comes.
I can tell you where the problem is because when Marvin did, and this is where it all really, really broke apart with Motown. When Marvin wanted to do What's Going On, Barry's like, no. Marvin's like, oh, I'm doing this. And that's what started the disintegration between Marvin and Motown. And it capped it when they released In Our Lifetime without his consent. Uh-huh. And I don't know if Barry wants that, you know, visualization or, you know, of him on screen. Because Barry, according to the David Rich biography, does not look well in those. Barry did Marvin wrong, and Marvin let the world know about it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, hopefully that does come out. Tupac one, Marvin. Again, I always say, in my lifetime, and we will hotly debate it, there will be the Prince docudrama, which would be very interesting. But, yeah.
And while we're on biopics, has anyone seen pictures of Andre 3000 as Hendrix?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that. He's doing that?
Supposed to be coming out pretty soon.
Yeah, it'll be out by the end of the year. I don't know what it's called, but
apparently they don't have any of Hendrix's music in it, though. I don't know if that's going to be a hindrance or not.
Yeah, that's another.
You got to have the music. You can't do it without the music.
Yeah, no, they don't have the rights at all. But the pictures, he looks, I mean, again, it's not hard to look like Hendrix, I suppose, but hopefully it's decent.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of like, you know, how can you make a Hendrix movie with none of the music? That makes no sense.
I think it takes places earlier years, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it chronicles his rise to fame versus the actual fame.
Yeah. Trying to find something about it. Actually, I think it's going to be shown at the South by Southwest this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. So there we go. All right. Moving along. In the news. Who does that? In the news, I know you've heard about, there's that stuff going on with Woody Allen. You know, the allegations of the sexual molestation. You know, of course, he had the controversy years ago. Now, didn't he marry his adopted daughter or something like that?
Yeah.
Which is crazy in itself. Now, I was sort of talking to my girlfriend about this morning, and we kind of got in an argument. You know, it's kind of like, well, what's the big deal? You know, I was like, well, if you had adopted a young boy and then you married him, wouldn't that be kind of weird? Like,
well, actually,
he was
Pharaoh, and that was her adopted daughter. But he had been, I guess, what you would say, common law for about 10 years.
How old was, do we know how old she was when he came in the picture?
He came into the picture when she was 10, and then he started, I think they broke off around 1920.
Okay. Well, like I said, not convicted of anything, you know. It's just a little funny to me. That's my own personal thing. It's obviously fine with them. So you have that, and then recently his daughter, I don't know if it's a stepdaughter or a real daughter, was Mia Farrow's daughter as well, came out and she did a open end piece in the New York Times, I believe, and put him on blast that he was molesting her. You know, sort of calling into question, like, why would you herald this guy? You know, he's a molester. You know, not only is the thing with the other girl, whether it was me. And then he responded with his piece in that paper, you know, saying that the mother put her up to it and she's lying. I don't want to speak on this anymore, you know, da-da-da-da. And, you know, I don't know if it's true or not. I mean, it's just interesting that, you know, coincidental he married the other girl, and coincidental that the daughter's claiming that she was molested. And then I had not even been paying attention to this, but Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Is in the news. And apparently he's been in the news before. Back in 2005 or 2006, he settled a lawsuit that had like 13 other women with allegations against him and sexual misconduct. Now there's a couple women that were a part of that are coming forward now saying these wild. And I'm just like, again, I don't know if it's true. But my question, though, is, and yeah, I guess I got to throw Michael Jackson in here as well. Can we separate the art from the person who created it? Like, if the person in R. Kelly's case, again, not convicted of anything, that wouldn't be in the tape. Can we separate him from the music? Can you separate Chris Brown from beating the girl? I mean, is that separate from the music? What's your thoughts?
I'll say this as kind of a interesting side note. Once all that R. Kelly stuff started coming out, I deleted all of his slow songs from my from my slow jam playlist.
Age ain't nothing but a number.
You're in the mood, whatever. You know, I won't get graphic, but you know, and then you know, Bubba Grime pops up, and then you get these images in your head. You go, oh God, no. So in that case,
bye.
But in that case, you know, I couldn't separate the artist from the man, and so I deleted all the art. I also deleted all the Chris Brown stuff that I had too when his stuff came out. But like Michael, I can't delete Michael from
Michael didn't do it.
Well, see, Michael didn't do any. Well, I don't say do anything, but you know, you got all the smoking, allegedly smoking guns around Michael, but you know. I still haven't heard enough to warrant Michael being jammed up like this. He went through an actual case, was exonerated. That's it. R. Kelly did it. I saw the videotape. I just cringe when I see his stuff. Chris Brown, I want to beat down. You know, I can't separate it with Chris Brown, because if he put his hands on any lady friend of mine, I'm still kicking his ass. I can't let that slide.
Yeah.
Now, Now, Big Sexy, let's keep it real. If Chris Brown had beat down, Monique and not Rihanna, would you be upset?
He wouldn't have beat down Monique, but go ahead.
There it is. He can't take Monique.
But you know, my fans, you know.
But what are you saying, Anthony?
Sexy, fine ass Rihanna, would you have this problem?
I still would, personally.
I would, yes. I would have the problem, man.
Yeah.
Well, my thing is, in the case of Michael Jackson, I don't believe he ever did any of that. Just like I don't believe OJ killed Nicole. So I can't separate the alleged crime from the person. Now, with Woody Allen, he did that. Roman Polanski, he did that.
Wait. Woody, I don't know. Roman did it. Roman had to fry. And I have a filmmaker buddy. We argue about this all the time. He says Roman got persecuted, and to an extent, you know, the DA did him wrong, but at the end of the day, he did it. He should have taken his medicine and been done with it, but he did do it.
Now, can you, so, you know, and I think we have Q-Storm. Are you here, sir?
I'm here.
Hey, everyone. It's Q-Storm.
I knew y'all probably still be running your mouths, so I figured I'd call in.
Hilarious. Well, welcome, sir. What we're talking about is sort of separating art from the artists in terms of, you know, there's the alleged Woody Allen scandal. Now Bill Cosby is in the mix here. You know, Michael Jackson, R. Kelly. Let me get your opinion. And there's the thing. I love Michael Jackson. Like, it is so, I can't even comprehend that he did those things. But it's an allegation. And as I hold to the fire, Woody Allen and Cosby, he's not been convicted of anything, but there has been multiple people making these allegations. That doesn't mean they're true, but I have no problem separating him from the from his artwork. But what's your take, Q?
That's a hard one, man. I mean, you can say the same thing about Michael Richards from Seinfeld, and that's one of my favorite shows of all time, and I mean, his crime wasn't as big as what you guys are talking about. You could talk about O.J. Simpson. But, I try to separate, as you said, Mike, I try to separate the artistry from the person when it comes to these allegations. Sometimes I have to cool off with the people every now and then. Like, I had a huge problem with Michael Jackson when I think when he settled. That just didn't come off as right to me. And then when he went to court, the second allegation came around. I really had an issue with him. And this was around the time that documentary that Martin Bashir put out. And, boy, that did not make him look good. So, I don't know. It's very difficult. Now, I heard you guys talking about Chris Brown. That's a case where this person did it. No question. R. Kelly did it. No question.
Well, no, R. Kelly didn't do it.
Oh, he did.
I'm just saying that got convicted of anything.
That is it.
Wait. I'm talking about peeing on an underage girl.
Well, again, apparently he didn't because I guess they're claiming she wasn't underage.
Shit.
I'm just going with the court of law say. So it's an allegation.
Well, okay. You don't think Beretta did that either?
Well, hey, didn't Zimmerman? I mean, he's free. Well,
that's different.
Maybe R. Kelly was standing his ground.
By the way,
oh Lord,
that's terrible. I'm sorry.
Whoever said OJ didn't do it. I mean, come on, wake up. Come on now.
Wow.
But that's a whole other problem. I don't know.
It's sidetracked. But I find it hard to believe that one night OJ, right before he had a 10 o'clock flight, decides, you know what? I had enough of this bitch. I'm gonna go kill her. I find that hard to believe.
This is the same. Wait, hold on. Are we talking about the same brother that broke into a hotel room and tried to bum rush some collectors and said, "Give me my shit, I'm out"?
That's different. That's not murder.
It's totally different.
What I'm saying is, it speaks to, you know, Big Sex. You can back me up here. It speaks to his state, his mental state of what's the term where you can talk about his character.
Shit, I would have did the same thing OJ did.
Wait,
rushing to get your shit back is totally
two different things. Two different things. And when he went and got his stuff back in the hotel room, it was planned out. He had his muscle with him. This was he was trying to be Tony Soprano. Now the way the prosecution laid out the case in the murder, and based on OJ's physical condition, he can't do that in that time window. I'm not saying he didn't do it. I'm saying the prosecution did not prove he did it based, to me, on his the way he can't run. So they say he leaped this wall and ran down here and did all that in the small window. I saw the last time he played football. There's no way. No way he could have done that. Not in that window.
No way he could have done what? I'm sorry. Which case?
In the murders. There's
retrial
there's no way.
Going on.
Oh, you're saying that he did. So you're saying he didn't kill them either.
I'm saying he couldn't physically have done it in the manner they say he did it. That's what I'm saying.
All right, you know? Ladies and gentlemen, that was the retrial of OJ.
I've heard rumor that he was cut. He said he did it. Wait, I heard rumors that his son did it. Or his son did it, and he went to trial for his son or something.
He trying to piece it together. Bro.
I've heard that, but that's just too far fetched. There's no way.
All right, the whole
thing in Vegas. Yeah, he did that. It's all recorded. He walked in there trying to be all badass, knowing he dodged a bullet with the murders, and he did something stupid like that. And you knew he was going to get 20. Well, you knew that.
Yeah. So I mean, in terms of Woody Allen, you have any problem supporting his movies and stuff? Does it take away from his great works?
Well, like I said, no. I said I try to separate the artist from the accusation, and everyone gets their day in court. As far as I know, Woody Allen has not been accused of any. Or he's been accused, but he has not been found guilty of anything.
No. He hasn't been charged with anything.
I kind of give him a side eye for marrying his stepdaughter. What, stepdaughter?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little funny style.
But yeah, I mean, I can't help but the heart wants what it wants. I love Woody Allen's movies for the most part, and I mean, you'd have to.
The heart may want little boys, but that don't mean. I mean, gotta draw the line somewhere.
So okay, so for example, one of the best movies I saw in I forget what year it came out, 2006, I want to say. Was The Pianist. That was directed by Roman J. Polanski.
That don't even sound right.
So should I not like that film because of the crime he committed?
Yes. The same way you shouldn't want to support George Zimmerman's celebrity boxing match.
Well, nobody. That's canceled.
Well, who supports that? I mean, come on. That's a totally different situation. That's just two minstrels right there.
Wow.
I'm just saying, that dude did that. I totally believe it. He marrying one daughter, and my thing is, if he can marry a 19-year-old daughter, have a relationship with a 19-year-old daughter, how is it so far-fetched that he didn't molest the other? And on top of that, according to the court documents, the molestation took place prior to him moving on to Sun Yi, her name was.
Wow. Is he still married to that lady or to her?
Yes.
Has she ever spoken to the? He like keep her off the radar. You can't open your mouth.
Well, you know, I will say that I read something. I can't remember what it was. I just skimmed through it that it kind of debunked all these myths that he was that Sun Yi was his stepdaughter with Mia Farrow. I read something that indicated that time she was not. Or he was not involved with Mia Farrow or whatnot. I can't remember. But all I'm saying is we all know what we think we know. And then there's the truth. So until the truth is put in front of me unequivocally, I don't have a problem separating the artist from the art.
All right. Well, with that said, we'll see you tomorrow morning bright and early at Eddie Long's service.
What?
Because Eddie Long didn't do nothing wrong. We only know what we know. I'm just messing.
Well, last I checked, Ellie Long didn't put out any good movies or do any good songs. So,
but good word, yeah, count for right. Something.
Okay, don't get started on that.
Let's not even get into that.
Don't get started on that.
Hallelujah, amen, amen.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
amen. All right, okay.
You can sell that someplace else.
What are you saying? I won't be able to get into it now, but there was I just posted this video. This is pastor God, I can't. It's on my YouTube page. It's on Facebook. But he's preaching about basically saying that interracial, biracial babies are against God.
Did he get a memo from God? I mean, I didn't get that email.
Yeah, well, you know, of course, they'll unback it with scripture and make it. It just sounds. He's talking about, like, there's a part in the video he talks about, you know, my white brothers, you want to date that nice African woman and all that, but if you want to get married, don't bring them here because I'll quit before I. I was like, wow.
Hey, fellas, can I ask a question real quick?
Crazy. Go ahead.
Let me ask a question real quick. This is Geeked Out, right?
No. See, did I die? This is what happens. This is what happens when we as a people come to the party late. We are misinformed. We are always behind. No, unfortunately, this is not Geeked Out, sir. So that's why we're kind of going on all these different things. But I mean, if you can't handle it, is it getting too hot in the kitchen?
Ooh, somebody climbing today, boy.
All right, all right. We're moving right along. Let's see here. Oh, I get you guys' opinion. You know, we talked about net neutrality before, and now has come out that Comcast is wanting to unite or actually acquire Time Warner for like $45 million. And of course, Billion. They're not joking. And Time Warner, aside from it being probably one of the second or third largest cable provider, of course they own, you know, the Warner Music and the movies, TV stations and magazines. Comcast is tightening up and getting ready for the next game in the game of consumer and electronics and media. You know, grabbing the content, locking it down, locking down the ISP, cable game. Curious what your guys' thoughts on this Q-Storm, if you got anything on it.
I mean, I don't have much to say on it. It concerns me that I'm not going to get access to the content as freely as I get it now through Hulu or Netflix or any other of these video-on-demand services. But what can we do? If the FCC okays it, I mean, it's within the law, so that's the free market enterprise. What can we do?
Well, that, hopefully we might be spared, as I'm hearing a lot of rumblings that the FCC is not going to okay, just like they didn't okay AT&T's acquisition of T-Mobile. My opinion, I'm kind of I'm still trying to do some research to see if Time Warner, you know, the huge parent company that owns Warner Brothers, DC, HBO, the studios, if they still own Time Warner Cable. And if that's the case, I don't understand if Comcast, which owns the Universal Entertainment Group, is trying to buy up content for their cable system. Why would Time Warner divest itself of a cable system?
Well, it might be to unite the two so that they have a lock and they can, hold back the Apples and the Googles of the world, possibly. I mean, I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Well, no, on the surface, it looks like Time Warner Cable is going to be swallowed up by Comcast. They're not, right. Not so much a merger that they're buying their cable outlets.
Well, just to run it down, how big this would reach. And I'm looking at Wikipedia. Take it what it is. Time Warner Inc., which used to be AOL Time Warner. So you imagine a company like AOL, who was really new, had the game to buy Time Warner at one point, right? So you know, it's happened before. It's an American multinational media corporation headquartered in Time Warner Central in New York City. As of mid-2010, it was the world's second largest media and entertainment conglomerate in terms of revenue, behind the Walt Disney Company, as well as the largest media conglomerate. Two formerly separate companies, Warner Communications and Time Warner, they form the current Time Warner. Now, here's some of the things that they have. New Line Cinema, Time Inc., of course, HBO, Turner Broadcasting, CW, the WB, Warner Brothers, Kids WB, Cartoon Network, something called Boomerang, Adult Swim, CNN, DC Comics, Warner Brothers Animation, Cartoon Network Studios, Hanna-Barbera, and Castle Rock.
See, that's a problem right there.
So Comcast is not fucking around.
See, Comcast took Boomerang and just did it all wrong, man. Boomerang used to be a great network, and the last several years it's been crap.
Yep.
Well, why, I'm curious. Someone said the FCC probably would not approve this, and I'm curious why they wouldn't. I mean, why? Well, why is Disney allowed to own CBS and what's the other major?
Well, yeah, I think it'd be a monopoly. ABC. In my opinion, it's a monopoly.
They own Viacom as well,
right? But I think it'd be a monopoly in the sense of, you know, really who controls the customer's access to this material would basically be the cable providers, right? So if you take the two largest cable providers and they just merge into one, there's no competition. The only other competition, direct competition to them, I say direct, would be DirecTV, which is satellite, which really is not a competition in terms of who you're going to get the internet through, DirecTV or Comcast. You're going to go to Comcast.
What about Verizon?
Verizon, a very small player compared to them in internet providing service and cable.
Well, the thing is I was having this conversation yesterday about it. They were saying that, yeah, Verizon and AT&T, even with this merger, would still be the biggest mobile and, well, I guess, data provider, which encompasses landline internet as well as mobile.
Well, yeah, that may be true. Real quick, I think I sent you guys a link, but if you go to the bottom on USA Today, they have a broken down customer base. Comcast has 21.7 million customers. The second in customer base is DirecTV, which is 20.16. Again, those are satellite.
Wow.
The next would be Time Warner with 11. I'm sorry. Actually, the next would be Dish, which is another satellite provider. It's 14. Again, satellite is not going to give you high-speed internet to the level of, you know, Comcast. So that's more of a TV thing. The third one would be Time Warner with 11.4. Verizon has 5.3. So again, if you match that 21 plus 11, they've entirely locked down the wired, you know, into the home internet cable access game on lock. There would be no competitor except for a company that is not dealing in the same business as them.
You know, where's Cox and AT&T U-verse on that?
AT&T 5.5 million customers, Cox 6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But the other thing is that they were saying that in order to, I guess, to get approval through FCC, that if this merger goes through, that Comcast would divest itself of to where they only have 30 million customers, which I don't know how that makes sense to them. But I mean, if you want to, the big thing is they want New York market.
Yeah, it would definitely make it a lot harder for companies like Netflix and Apple to compete in that, you know, that sort of arena. Again, not only would they be fighting hard to get the content, which they would probably never get at this point if it's owned by Comcast, in probably a couple of years, they'll be fighting to just be given placement on the cable service without paying out the ass, right? So, yeah, like I say, locking down the content is when we're going to win the game.
Again, I think I said this with Verizon with the net neutrality. If you can't beat your competitors, legislate them. Legislate them out of business.
Yeah. All right. Oh, I just want to throw this out there. I thought it was very cool. De La Soul, a classic hip hop group, made their entire catalog, I think except for one album, free. For 24 hours, started on Thanksgiving Day. I believe it ends today at noon.
Valentine's Day, mate.
Valentine's Day it started and ends today. I think it's over now. But any thoughts on like making their entire? What if Prince did that?
It would shut the internet down.
I already have it.
Hilarious.
I'm just curious. I mean, as a fan, you know, this is for fans. This is great. I wonder. What's motivating them to do this? Are they planning to come back hard with new stuff, or?
Well, I know one thing. I was talking to somebody else about this a couple of weeks ago. 3 Feet High and Rising, their classic album, is not available, as far as my understanding, to buy, you know, online. I don't know if it's held up because of the songs or the sampling.
But it's
not available. Samples. So I think that's probably why they were like, you know, a lot of our, and I think the second album is available either. So a lot of their classic stuff, they're not, for whatever reason, no one is allowed to sell it. So I guess they were like, F it. I'm just going to put it out there for free. So I don't know. It's kind
of, I mean, cool. I'm not a fan of their stuff, but just the goodwill that they're going to generate with their within their fan base is amazing. I mean, that's a really a great and generous move that they're doing.
Yeah, I have all their stuff, so I'm, you know, for me, it's exciting just for them to do it. But I'm like, oh, well, I already have it, so not doing me any favors.
Yeah, very interesting and cool move. I wonder if we'll see other people do something like that. I think the last thing, two things I had left on here. Did anybody see the video of the little black boy who was at Chuck E. Cheese? Little acting child running wild in time. I mean, what? Big Sexy, if you were at that Chuck E. Cheese and you were there with a little kid or something and you saw that little boy and you said, hey, and he spit on you, what would you do?
If he spits on me?
Yes.
he catches a loogie right between his eyes.
Wow.
Shit, don't start none, don't be none.
Big Sexy, I know what would happen. You'd be the next Colin. You'd be the next Colin Ferguson up there in court defending yourself.
Gotta do what I gotta do, man. Little knucklehead.
You'd be all over the internet.
Where was this? You know, I had to risk it sound like an old fart. Where is this guy's parents, man?
Good question.
I mean, how did he get there? Did Laquita just get there and just let him go do his thing? I mean, what was the deal with that?
Wouldn't be surprised, man.
He just went nuts.
You got to think, if the kid at the level of spitting on adults, he's already so far gone.
Yep.
Like, how does he get there? Like, he's so young, man. It was sad.
How old was the kid?
I don't think they ever said. I don't know.
He couldn't have been more than 4 or 5.
Wow. I mean,
this kid was little.
Yeah, and you know, the other part that disappointed me was the brothers that was there filming, talking.
Oh, you know, Worldstar going to be in the
like, mix. When do you put the camera down and go snatch him up, man? Just like, you know.
But the thing is, Mike, you can't do that now.
Yeah.
Well, in this climate, you can't snatch up somebody else's kid, man.
You can't just go and grab him and say, yo, son, get off of that. Stand right here. You know, hold on, and let the security come. Yo, he's not going nowhere.
You do that, and here comes Monique. And then you got a whole nother problem.
Hilarious.
so you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, you saw what happened in Atlanta with that security guard with them bad little kids.
Yep.
He's going to take them.
Well, yeah, he is going. He went a little too far, though.
You know what, Mike? That reminds me of another clip that I saw. I don't know if you guys saw this on Facebook, but I forget where. I think it was in Wisconsin, Kenosha, Wisconsin. This kid, I don't know what the contest was. This guy was driving a bus, and this kid walks up to him on the bus and just starts beating the shit out of him.
Oh.
And the bus driver gets up out of his seat while the bus is in motion.
Whoa.
And puts a smack down on the kid and runs into 3 cars. Did y'all? No one else has seen
that?
I didn't see that one.
Damn.
I mean,
wow.
You see
Please
him,
do that.
Yeah, I can need to see this.
You Whoa. See him in the aisle of the bus while the bus is moving. Whooping this kid.
Now that's crazy. Come on, man.
And this guy, he lost his job.
As he should. Because,
you know, smashing the 3 cars. And the union's trying to get him his job back.
No.
Well, he made the mistake to leave the car running. He could have ran somebody over on the street. He could have just stopped the bus and then whooped his ass. Come on, man. That's crazy. But, you know, you know how we get down here in Seattle? You know, there was the tape of the bus driver trying to get, you know, telling the kid, yo, you got to get off the bus, man. Get off the bus. And dude, man, kill yourself. Talking crazy. And you see the bus driver pull him up, mollywop him, pull him out, slam him on the ground. Like, I mean, that's, hey. They didn't play over. You know, go Hawks. That's how we do it. But, you know, I mean, yeah, man, where is the parents? I think we should snatch them up. Be damned if they say something. You know what? This is... It's too far gone. Look, this is where we're at because we're not snatching them up.
No, this is where we're at because parents ain't got no goddamn sense.
Well, true.
I mean, just the fact that a person has a freedom to, has an inalienable freedom, to have a child doesn't mean you need to have one. Some of these people, and this goes across racial lines, some of these people don't need to have no fucking kids. That's just, I said it, okay? And that's just how it is. And when you let your kids run buck wild like this, that shows nothing about the kid. That's on you, the parent. You know, because the kids don't know. All the kids know is what they've been taught. And at that young age, the main teacher is the parent, and this little dude's parents don't know a damn thing. Just like the little guy who I saw this on Tommy's clip the other day, I believe. Little guy had his mom twerking, and he's behind her, and this kid was in diapers or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Really? We're going to do this now? No. Something's wrong here.
Yeah. That's some wild stuff, man.
I'm not trying to steal Afro Nerd's routine, but we're on a steady race to the bottom. Because you have people defending that stuff nowadays.
How?
I saw there was a clip. That I saw on Facebook. I don't know if it's the same clip that you talking about, Big Sexy. But there was a woman on the beach, or in the sand or something. She looked good too. I'm not gonna lie, but there was he couldn't have been more than 5 or 6 years old. He was back. She was backing it up on him, on this little kid.
Yeah, I saw that one.
And I made a comment or something, and people got at me.
Why?
You know.
Because how dare you talk to her, talk to that black queen about that. That's... Well, there you go.
I'm going to say, I just saw a story this morning about Nicki Minaj. Disrespecting Malcolm X, a classic photo. She puts a classic photo on her new single. And the name of the single is
Looking Ass Nigga.
Looking Ass Nigga, right.
What does that phrase even mean? I don't know.
I guess a bunch of Negroes that are always looking at you with the side eye or, giving you those haters look. Always looking at your life. And I'm like, are you kidding me? She has the picture of Malcolm X, with the M16 looking out his window. And over top, looking ass niggas. She claims it's supposed to be represent he's ready to murk somebody, looking ass niggas. But I'm like, if you look at that, you're saying Malcolm X is a looking ass nigga.
Yeah, in the song, she talking about looking ass nigga. You want to, fuck her or whatever? It's like, come on, man. Like, she's out of control.
Why should we be surprised? I put it on my Facebook wall just this morning. You got Lil Wayne dissing Emmett Till. You got Russell Simmons, supposed to be one of the grandfathers of hip hop, dissing Harriet Tubman. You got party promoters dissing Martin Luther King, and now you got this. So why should we be surprised that we're starting them young now? Let's start the self hatred young nowadays.
And what make it worse is that on that Instagram picture, people were like getting on her like, "Yo, this is stupid," and people were just falling over themselves trying to defend it.
That's where the culture's at right now.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah. Racing to the bottom.
I can't imagine Bubba and them down in Texas disrespecting George Washington's image like that.
Nope. Yeah. All right. I'm going to get off this before we turn this Bubba into the race card.
But that's the only lowest white people I can think of.
Oh. Wow. Honey Boo Boo. There it is.
Yeah, there you go. Even they wouldn't disrespect Abraham Lincoln.
No, you're right.
Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Keep it moving. There you go. So a quick shout out around the room. Quick shout out to Mr. Q Storm for joining us. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure as always.
All right. Big Sexy and Sack. Thank you, sir. And where can they find you, sir?
I'm glad you asked me that. The last few weeks I've said doing a website. I met with my web designer last week. Nice. Yes, we are doing this. So we're putting it together. In fact, she's moving to Seattle. And once she gets settled up there in the Northwest with you, Mike, we're going to get this thing happening.
There you go.
That's pimping. That is pimping. You got people moving to you. To work with you.
I don't, not moving to me. I don't know nothing about
him. For Big Sexy. He had women moving out to get his shit done. I heard that.
Kind of like that.
How could I be down?
All right. Amp Poo, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me at 401 Mania. Got a nice article coming up, the top 8 black comic book characters. That'll be up tomorrow. Knockout Nation, I just did an interview with R-Truth of the WWE.
No way!
And I'll be heading to next week's UFC event to cover that as well. So your boy's doing some big things.
Right on.
And on Twitter and Instagram at Poo.
Yeah. Mine. All right. Mr. Sean Hill, where can we find you?
All right, you can find me at hillstreetviews.blogspot.com, Facebook, Real Movie Talk. We got some things going on with that coming soon with the Oscars, a big Oscar contest, going to give away some shirts and some hats. So definitely check us out. You can email at realmovietalk@gmail.com.
All right, and I didn't forget, Q Storm, where can they find you?
Down here on the corner.
Okay.
Now, you can find me at QStorm.com. You can go to my blog, QStorm.com/lightningstrikes. You can catch me on Twitter at QStorm3476. You can catch me on Facebook. Search under Michael Jones from Indianapolis. That's right, Indianapolis. I'm from the Midwest. And you can catch me here on PodcastJuice.net.
There you go. And, of course, PodcastJuice.net is the place to be. Donate your account and catch me on Twitter at MDEAN. With that, we are out. We will see you next time. Enjoy your day. Peace.